this club's about winning trophies. I'm inexperienced in a lot of those things.
Can you believe it?
Almost lost the cup and you win it. The new European champions, the treble, the dream come true for you.
Oh, I can't believe that. I can't believe that. Football, bloody hell. But they never give in. That's a winner.
Welcome to American Red Devils Podcast. I'm John.
I'm Alex.
And we are bringing you the best Manchester United news from this side of the pond.
Ooh, sir, how you doing? How you doing? United never does it the easy way, even when it's the team that's at the bottom of the table. 3-2, United gun it out, go down early, but come back and then make it way too nervy at the end as they scored a late goal, Sheffield, the Blades. So how you feeling, sir? How you feeling?
Watching this team is not good for your health. As Roy Keane has famously said, I think I've tweeted it out every single match. I mean, the ups and the downs with this side, can they do it? It's rickety, but we beat those rusty Blades at Bramall Lane, sir. If it's ugly and we're going to climb our way up the table, I'll take it, because a lot of our rivals drew, and last season we would drop points in this position against really terrible opposition. So I'm glad we got over that hump, so to speak. Got that bump in the table. Obviously, we're not looking at until Boxing Day. That's an important 3 points, sir. And looking back on it, you're not going to remember it, sir. If we end up going somewhere in the table, getting in a little bit of a race, dare I say, you're not going to remember 3-2 at Bramall Lane.
Yeah, you might not remember how nervy it was and some of the mistakes that were made early on.
Mistakes?
There's an early one by poor Dino. But that being said, it's all about getting these results. When our rivals drop points, that's a really good point, and I'm glad you brought it up early, because previously, under this reign, we would always drop points in this position. Great opportunity to chip up in the table. And unfortunately, for our rivals, we got all 3 points today, a huge result on the road. And the Blades not looking like a team that only have 1 point. You know, they never made it easy today. So a lot of fight in them, but they're probably going down.
I think we bring it out in those teams, or we play down to our opposition. Either way, we got to shout out Marcus Rashford from MBE. I mean, his finishing wasn't on point over the last couple of matches. Now it's on point. He goes from like no goals to Hattie, no goals to Hattie, saving, feeding the hungry in the UK. I mean, he's a busy man, but to see him finish the way he did today was unbelievable. You'd love to see it. Marcus Rashford and Martial getting his goal. We're just kicking on, sir. Just the beginning, sir.
Just the beginning. And Paul Pogba finally having a contribution to say as well. Good on him. You know, gave the ball away a couple times, but most importantly, created some big, big chances for the team. Played a full 90 minutes, and everybody was putting it on the line at the end of this game. It meant a lot to United. They did not want to give up a draw to Sheffield after fighting so hard to get the lead. So I think, people would have moaned if it went 3-3. Luckily, it didn't. But the fact that the team showed a lot of resilience at the end.
You wouldn't want to do this pod.
Sir, who'd want to be doing it?
You would be like, you told me, before we sit down to the pod, Alex is like, if it was 3-3, I don't know.
You know, the pod would be a little bit darker today.
You'd be a little... I'd be salty. Whenever we lose, it's just like the emotion from Alex comes out in the pod. I'd just be like so fired up. I think you direct it at me sometimes, the frustration at Manchester United, sir. You run hot.
Hey, who doesn't? That's the use of this pod is, you got to... If it's fans, if it's the hosts, we got to get it out, because this team, it'll be the death of all of us. It's going to push you to the edge like Roy Keane said. Oh, my God. It's like you knew that goal. They score and it's never in doubt.
So no, it's 3-1. You're feeling fine. Just like 3-1, smiling. Everything is good. 3-2. What? 3-2. How much time? 10 minutes. 10 minutes. How much time? 4 minutes of stoppage time. I mean, you're biting your nails. It's unbelievable. This team... Sir, December is like, feels like December's been in like 90 days. How many games we've had? Especially like, you talk about the Raiola drama with Pogba coming back. He's playing well. Then you get Champions League knocked out. Like, then you're back. Bramall Lane. It's like, that's why we do it. That's why we love this team. We love this club. And there's a lot to play for, sir. Everything to play for. FA Cup, EFL, and obviously that 21st title. I believe, sir. I believe. I haven't checked the table yet, but I believe it's possible that we could be competing for the first time in 8 years, really.
Well, it's a team in crisis, apparently. Everyone was talking about Ole losing the job a month ago, but we said you got to go slow and steady, give the man till the end of the year to see where we're at. This team has shown a lot of ups and downs, but I think more ups than downs over the last 12 months. So we're seeing progress. We're still going to get punched in the teeth on the way, sir, but you're saying there's a chance. We want to be in a position that there can be a race when we get to 2021. That's the big thing. It's like, we want to be close enough that you're saying there's a chance.
Yeah, like they're saying, maybe not on the last day, but at least at some point in the season, our name being talked about, you know, after January, being in a race, sir, a race for the title. quick PSA for the podcast. If you like the American Red Devils pod, we are supported directly by our fans. We don't have any independent sponsors. We're not Hockey Underwear or anything. We believe that we should be supported directly by you, the fans. One of the best ways to do that is Patreon. You can visit our Patreon page, www.patreon.com/AmericanRedDevils. We give out pins, stickers, and scarves. We post exclusive podcast content there as well. There's four tiers. You can sign up for anything from $1 a month to $20 a month. It goes a long way to keeping on the lights and just supporting our For Fans By Fans philosophy. If you don't like Patreon, check out the blog and click on store to see some of our merch. Grab a scarf here or there. It goes a long way to support the podcast. Keep this operation going. Alex and I have high hopes for the future of this podcast. We want to build out our store. And Patreon and supporting us that way does do it. Also, we have amazing fan-generated content on the blog, sir. Tell them about it.
The blog is ripping, AmericanRedDevils.com. We've got coverage of the first team, of course. We got the under-23s. We got women's team coverage now. So check it out. And if you're interested about writing for the American Red Devils, hit us up at AmericanRedDevils@gmail.com. Let's talk shop, see if there's a place for you to contribute. And there's another way that you could support the pod. If you are not interested in spending some of that cold, hard-earned cash, so it's always hard for us to get that out, you can write a review on iTunes. Write a cheeky five-star review. Send us a screenshot to AmericanRedDevils@gmail.com with your address, and we will get you hooked up with some of our new Stanley Chow-designed logo stickers. Did I leave anything out?
Sir, we got a great sample review from BK MyWay9 from this November. Glory, glory, Man United. Guys give a biased opinion for the world's best team, but they like to keep it real. A lot of crazy banter out there on people coming to Manchester United and what's going on, but they offer insight to many things. The financial reporting is a great piece of knowledge that they share. Love the post-game reviews and many of the feelings I have when we win or lose. I mean, it's called pod therapy for a reason. Glory, glory, Man United. Really appreciate that. And five stars, cheeky review, goes a long way. That's the number one way we're found online. Sir, that is the podcast. Let's jump in. Sheffield United 2, Manchester United 3, Bramall Lane. That lineup, oh my God. Dean Henderson in net. Lindelof, Maguire, center back pairing. We had Telus, Aaron Wan-Bissaka, Pogba, Fernandes, Martial, Rashford, Greenwood, Matic. Sir, hell of a lineup. What'd you make of that?
I mean, I was actually very encouraged by this lineup. I was happy that Ole, you know, didn't overthink it and be like, oh, it's a, maybe we'll put the bees out, start Mata, start Donny, and maybe rest Rashford, maybe rest Bruno. But he went with force. I like the Bruno Pogba matchup with Matic coming in, because, you know, Fred and McTominay are gonna get a lot of minutes. So I like this 11. I was all about it.
No, I think this is like an 11 that's signaling, hey, this is the lowest team in the table. We're gonna go out and take it to them, score a few goals, go home, have a few dark ales, sir. You know how it is.
We love the dark ales. We love the dark ales on the pod. I tell you, you need a couple dark ales to get through this match.
Exactly. And the one thing is like, you have to an eye to rotation, right? We have Leeds at Old Trafford on Sunday, Thursday to Sunday. It's a tight turnaround. So I think that's why you saw quite a few changes here from Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, including the shout out to Hendo. Would you make it the Hendo start? Obviously, we haven't gotten into the fifth minute here, but, you know, Henderson coming in, rotating with De Gea. Do you really need to, or what's your feelings about that? I actually did not mean to do that.
Well, I like it either way. I mean, I had no problem with it. I thought it was a good move because Hendo needs some minutes. He's going back to, you know, the place that he spent 2 years, got hardened in an English football game. So having him go get some minutes, physical side, right? Sheffield United. De Gea has not been the best in terms of just like getting boxed out with a really physical team like the Blades. So it made sense to me.
Yeah, I liked Hendo mainly because of the, you
long
know,
balls.
His he's able to kick those long balls by LVG. So let's jump in first half. Blaze come out hot. They're ready to play. And obviously, you know, it was a little disappointing. Fifth minute.
First down here. And the Goltic has scored at the expense of a horribly exposed Dean Henderson. Desperate, cruel. But this is dog eat dog.
and the blades were sharp enough.
Well, we said they've started the better of the two teams. Their pressure from the front has been very good. United slow, lethargic. Excellent work from Burke, closing Henderson down. Doesn't get the ball out of his feet. United are going to have to come from behind again. Sheffield United's top scorer, Dave McGoldrick.
I mean, if you watch it again, he had Telus. Maguire had Telus. You know, some of the things, you know, playing out the back, we looked like we didn't start very well. We were kind of sleeping a little bit. Sheffield United, they had the piss and vinegar coming out of the gate. We always talk about this, Manchester United. Why can't we start out of the gate hot, sir? What is it?
No, I don't know. I mean, this is more of like a self-inflicted wound. This is like shooting yourself in the foot versus just coming out a little bit slow. Dean probably, you know, took too much. It almost looked like De Gea. De Gea made that error within the last 12 months for sure. Not how you want to start a game, even if it's against the lowliest team in the league. You don't, you know, talking about like shooting ourselves in the foot. We've done it all season and unfortunately giving us a hole.
No, sir. And absolutely. And, you know, this team, you know, they just need to wake up, sir. They need to wake up, sir. They need to wake up.
Fernandez. Wake up, oh, it's a beautifully weighted ball.
Manchester United need to wake up out of their sleep, sir. They need to listen to that before every single game because it's absolutely brutal to watch this side come out snoozing and let up a goal in the first 5 minutes. If you were to come with a game plan, that'd be the number one thing not to do.
No, it's all. I mean, we've done it before, and it's like it's always the same thing. You know, we self-inflicted wounds. Sometimes it's because we just give the ball to the other team and they score on us. Sometimes it's just like lackadaisical from playing out of the back. But whatever it is, we did it again against the Blades.
And you look, you're not gonna go on a title run if you don't fix that. And like, it's crazy to say that the one thing Manchester United need to fix is they need to get up for a game and be able to come out of the gates with intent to attack, to win, to control the ball. Whatever the game plan is, you can't just have a goal go in like against RB, against Sheffield. I mean, we've seen this movie so many times. It's like, all right, comeback city. Let's see it. Sir, what is it? 25th minute.
They've all dropped points. There's a chance to steal a march.
Lindelof. Rashford thumps in the equaliser. That is a sumptuous take. Two perfect touches from Marcus Rashford and Manchester United a level.
Well, I felt it was only a matter of time before United got this run right. And you see Rashford, he starts from a slightly deeper position, arcs his run well onside. It's a great ball from Victor Lindelof and what a finish. Absolutely smashes it past Aaron Ramsdale, who's got no chance.
What a ball by the Iceman, Victor Lindelof, sir. I mean, that's what we need to see from him. That's like exactly why we got him.
Yeah, I mean, and people say, where would we be? We say it ourselves, without Bruno Fernandes. Where would we be without Marcus Rashford? Someone taking some of the pressure off of our Portuguese talisman. And he's had a hell of a year as well. So I know he went a couple games without a goal, but that is a class finish, great touch, and just slams it home. Come back, boys. Let's do it.
Yeah, and that's what we need. We need to share the production. If you're going to win a title over 38 matches, sir, over a long period of time, you know, 8-9 months, however long this shortened season is, you need to spread the love. You're going to need goals from Martial. You're going to need goals from Cavani. You're going to need goals from Marcus Rashford. You're going to need long balls from Victor Lindelof at the back.
Great ball. I'm glad they're making the runs, and I'm glad we have center backs that can make that pass.
And it was also good to see the reaction. So, you know, I always tweet out, we concede early. I tweet out the wake up gif, sir. I listen to that. Wake up, clockwork. And then look, it worked. They woke up. We got back into this game. It probably is a little easier to do against Sheffield United than maybe RB away. So you can get away with this in the league against bad sides, but you're going against the Liverpools. I mean, the Scouse Bastards, the team that should not be mentioned on this podcast. You can't be doing that, sir, because it's going to be a feeding frenzy.
No, and you can't keep doing it yourself. You know, I know it's like kind of becoming part of our identity, but you just, against the top teams, like we did to RB, right? You come out flat and they just rip you apart. And by the time you get into that game, the game's over.
But RB, I mean, come on. We shouldn't be talking about that game.
Keep going.
That never happened. 31st minute, Bruno finds Martial with an insane scoop into the box. He couldn't control the ball, but we were getting closer. Martial, he's getting close to that goal.
This Pogba, Martial, Ramsdale is committed, and Martial has scored for Manchester United. What a pass from Pogba. That was magical. Come look round the corner. A little bit of check, a little bit of spin.
Tony Marshall came from France. Manchester United up 2-1 in the 33rd minute. Amazing stuff from United. You love to see it. I was very happy about this. And now it's all about getting that third goal.
No, absolutely right. The go-ahead is important. It's great to see Tony Martial finally get on the score sheet. He played very well today. Just needed his goal and the confidence, right? You're going to need strikers contributing goals if we're going to, you know, succeed and accomplish anything today. Can't all be on Bruno and Rashford. So having Martial, even with a toe poke, not a vintage goal for him, but it's counts just the same. So all about it.
Shout out to Paul P. Paul P with a great pass. The look before he got the ball, one times into Martial. Timed the run perfectly. And, you know, people, Paul Pogba, he had an imprint on this game. You know, we're talking about him, his agent, but if he's playing like this, like I said, you should just ignore everything off the pitch. Focus on what he is doing on the pitch. Because, yeah, he's chatting shit. His agent's chatting shit. He's coming out saying something else. You know that he wants to go. I was going to tweet out today, and I didn't. It looks like somebody's playing to get Real Madrid to pay up the money to get him to move to a different team because this motivation's coming from somewhere. And it probably isn't, you know, I'm just going to question it.
I mean, whatever it takes, right? I don't really care because fit and fire in Paul Pogba, even if he's on the way out, is only going to help Manchester United, right? Help us succeed this year and help us raise his valuation when we do trade him.
But it is kind of interesting how Ole dropped him. Now he's undroppable within how many games? And Paul Pogba looking sharp. You love to see it. 35th minute grace chance for Marcus on the break. But the keeper makes a nice save. That was it for the first half, sir. How are you feeling?
I mean, you know, you don't want to have to concede early, but United, once we got that second goal, we looked much more in control. You know, it's like we did look like we had a handle on it. But I felt confident. You know, just keep doing what you're doing. You're going to get more chances to put the game away because Sheffield, you never know, put them away.
Going into the half, it was very open end-to-end stuff. Obviously, next goal is huge. We go up 3-1. The game's pretty much dusted. They score. They equalize. I actually like this. It reminds me of Manchester United of old. We weren't scared to attack. We weren't scared to have them attack us. It was really just like two boxers in the middle of the ring punching each other. Sort of going blow for blow. And that's what you want to see as a United fan. So when people criticize Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, you look at the football we're playing. You know, clearly the fifth minute, it's terrible. But we're taking risks. We're getting forward. We're attacking. And we're not afraid. And that's how we should be playing away at Bramall Lane. Is like 3-2 is a classic Sir Alex scoreline.
No, it is. And it's like these are the results that you need if you are going to accomplish anything. Because they don't always have to be pretty. And, you know, and the scoreline might not reflect exactly how it went down. But it's an important 3 points on the road against a team that, you know, probably deserves more than 1 point in the league.
Coming out at halftime, Marcus Rashford, MBE, 51st minute.
Fernandes. Greenwood went over, Rashford picked up the pieces, Fernandes again, now Martial, this is beautifully smooth, and Rashford scores again for Manchester United. That is a gem of a goal.
It's a thing of beauty, and it all started from a wonderful bit of skill from Paul Pogba in his own half, deep in his own half. Phil Jagielka actually committed a free kick, I think, on halfway, but United kept going. The interchange is just brilliant, isn't it? Look at Paul Pogba, Sheffield United give him the ball. A little drag back, opens up the space, one touch football. There's the foul, but United are allowed to continue. You thought Martial was going to go himself, plays the ball to Rashford. Ramsdale won't want to see it again, it goes through him. Not the most powerful effort from Rashford.
Yeah, look, a great goal all around. Paul Pogba skilling in our half. Then Bruno gets fouled. Michael Oliver credited him to play on there. And then Martial, heavy touch, turns into a pass for Rashford with not the best finish, actually. So kind of a little, it looks great, but it was a little scrappy. Rashford's got to work on that finishing, sir. I saw he got two today, but, you know, he could have gotten three today. He could have gotten a few more this season. Rashford, he's a great player. I love him, but the finishing, you watch Son on Tottenham, and it's just like he's a killer, sir. And Rashford, he lacks that a little bit.
You know, he does, but there's parts of his game that are arguably better than Son. So he's also a younger player, but I hear what you're saying. His deft finishing, he's got to work on it a little bit, but he's like, he is a Ferrari that is still kind of working out the kinks because...
Totally.
Dude, the turbo he's got is like next level turbo.
No, the touch on the first one for power, but you know, this one, I don't think he got the best finish on it. And that's like what a few players might say if you look at him technically, his finishing, and you can work on that, right? It's like he's got the gift. And he just needs to clean it up a little bit. But, I mean, credit to him on the goal. Martial with the heavy touch turns into a pass. We get the goal. I mean, hey, 3-1 as a United fan. I'm not going to critique that all day, although it sounds like I did.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, I was like, no problem, right? We should be in the clear. We did look pretty comfortable. That being said, it's like, you know, Sheffield weren't that threatening until the end, sir.
No, and I thought Ole should have changed this up a little more. Took him to the 74th. 59th minute United break, but Bruno picks out the wrong pass. 67th, Greenwood takes a rip after some fancy footwork. It was a tight angle, though. Led to a corner. You like to see that. 74 sub. He's going to switch it up. Mata for Greenwood. I like that one. Possession, calm it down. 78th, great chance for Mata, but it was too tight of an angle for him. Ball for Martial. 79th, where's Donny at? Get him on for Bruno. But then after these changes, sir, 87th minute, Sheffield United. They make it nervy.
Flung in by Fleck. And nudged in by McGoldrick. They will not vanish. They will assume nothing. Still alive.
What an absolute shit goal to give up on a corner. How many times have we conceded set piece goals towards the end of a match, sir? How many times have we seen this team give up goals from corners? Schoolboy defending again. No one at the back post. Sheffield United make it nervy, sir.
I mean, a bit of bad luck. I think like Lindelof is trying to head it out. It bounces off the attacker's head. I agree with you. It's been a lot of goals that look like that, like back corner from a corner, just jumbled in. The goalie can't get to it. The last 8 minutes were very nervy. I was screaming at the television at this point.
We have twitched our ass on the bench. Do you understand what I mean?
I understand. I understand what LVG means there. 90th minute sub McTominay from Martial. 91st minute, huge save from Hendo. I mean, Sheffield United asking questions. This was nervy. I was sweating, sir, standing, hands on my head. My son's looking at me like, what's wrong with you, sir? And then obviously we got the whistle. Manchester United, 3 points. Big win considering all the points that were dropped midweek and all the holiday fixtures coming tight and fast. But again, should we be sweating it that hard against the worst team in the league? That's a question, right? I'm going to say, you know the answer. Ah, 3 points, we'll take it. But something about this team is not clinical enough for me to think that we could go on a title run. You know, you got to be clinical, sir. I watched the team we should not talk about in the pod versus Jose, the greatest troll of all, Jose Mourinho's side. Something about the Christmas, how sharp they both are. United, I just don't see the sharpness. You know, we're not clinical enough.
Yeah, I mean, that's something we have to work on. We're inconsistent, and we don't always take our chances. And that's going to be the difference between us being a team that's going to be, you know, maybe can run for a title and a team that's going to win a title and then go for another one. And we need to work on that. So I think this is an important win, sir. You look back and Sheffield United, if you go look at all the teams that they lost to this season, they've all been close. They've all been like one goal games against good teams. So there are no gimmies. There are no Wiggins anymore in the Premier League. It's like every game is a battle. And that's the same thing that's going to give us a chance, I think, for a title, is because this league is wide open because it's so competitive. Top to bottom, it's like no matter what, the team's got 1 point. They still look like a solid team today. You know, they did not give up. They had a lot of heart, and it was not an easy match.
Look, and you compare it to last season, these are the games where we draw points. So if we can sort of cobble this together with beating the big teams and the big games and then squeaking these, you're right. We can go on a challenge. Match reaction stats-wise, United 60% of the ball, Sheffield 40%. Shots on target 7-6. United got the edge there. Corners 3-6. Sheffield had the edge there. They fouled us quite a bit, sir. Sheffield had 17 fouls. Manchester United are the third team in Premier League history to win 10 consecutive away games. Ole's streaky. We always say it. He's always got streaks. Manchester United are the first Premier League team in history to win 6 games in a row despite going behind in all 6 games. It's bad for your health. Since Ole Gunnar Solskjaer took charge of his first match as Manchester United manager, Marcus Rashford has scored more Premier League goals than any other under 25 player. And Marcus Rashford has been directly involved in 9 goals in 12 Premier League appearances this season. He's done well, but they come in bunches, sir. They come in bunches. And Manchester United have now won 388 points from losing positions, more than any other team in Premier League history. Comeback Kings, don't call it a comeback. And United have scored 19 away goals in the Premier League this season, 4 more than any other team. But if you look at the home stats, sir, we'd be pretty bottom of the barrel.
We need those fans back. Honestly, I think that's the difference. I think we're a long way from there. Hopefully, we got a couple thousand in the next couple
weeks.
How does
Liverpool, how did the team who shall not be named on this podcast?
You mentioned a lot in this pod already.
Sir, how did they get fans back and they're 40 minutes down the road and Manchester can't get fans back? It's conspiracy.
I don't know.
I need the X-Files music. It's conspiracy.
Couldn't tell you.
Dude, it's,
couldn't tell you.
All right, what do we know? Let's check in with the manager, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
Ole, congratulations on the win.
Thank you.
You don't do things the easy way. You've made a joke about that before. What did you make of your side's performance, character, and also, I guess, the character of Dean Henderson?
Well, it's just from when I was playing, we seemed never to make it easy for ourselves. Of course, the start was so sloppy, slow again, and I'm very surprised by that because we'd spoken about it, showed videos, we knew exactly what was going to happen, and it happened, and we jogged around the pitch, and that's not good enough. But then the character is fantastic by every single one of us. They just started playing. It's a test for Dean, of course, making a mistake like this, and he passed it with the flying colours because he never went chasing the game, didn't look for jobs, he just did what he had to do.
Hi, Ollie. Sorry. It's a major frustration there. I mean, you had so much of the game, played some beautiful football, just not killing it off. And I know you didn't think it was a corner. It probably wasn't a corner, but that last 5 minutes were probably tighter than they needed to be, weren't they?
I don't have any frustrations at the moment. We got 3 points from a difficult game at a difficult place. Of course, it could have been more comfortable at the end, but you don't expect it to be comfortable. The goals we scored were excellent, and once in a while you have to just accept that the opposition have got weapons and armoury that can hurt you, and Sheffield United certainly have.
James Ducker.
Hi, Ollie. I know you got to
Manchester
United in recent weeks, but you must have been absolutely delighted with his performance tonight. He was towering in the midfield for you.
Yeah, we made a decision. Of course, we know his strength in the air as well. We knew he was going to be important for us on set plays and goal kicks and long kicks, and he won more or less every single header. Seemed and his vision, creativity. Of course, we also want. So he's responded really well to the work he's been doing. He's fit now and excellent performance.
Rob Dawson.
All right, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer keeping it pretty easy midweek here. Sir, what do you make of the manager's comments?
You know, slightly salty from Ole for 3 points. But he always...
Well, they made him sweat. They made him sweat. They made us sweat.
They did. We've been sweating all season, sir. It's been a long time since we just like rode easy. I was thinking back to my first game at United, 4-0 thumping of Wigan. Ronaldo with a brace, Tevez with a goal, Rooney with a goal. And that was like, we just used to cruise. Some games in the league, it's like we haven't had one of those in a while.
You don't know what you got till it's gone,
amen,
sir.
Amen to that.
You don't know it. Counting crows. not to date myself. Next match, sir. That's right. There's always a next match, and we need these 3 points. We're desperate for them. Manchester United versus Leeds scum. We all hate Leeds scum. Everyone knows the song, sir. The Roses rivalry is back. Old Trafford, Sunday, December 20th, 8:30 a.m. Pacific time, 11:30 a.m. Eastern. Games versus Leeds. Big rivalry here. Big one. 46 Wins for United, drawn 35, lost 26, sir. The last time we played Leeds, September 20th, 2011, Manchester United won 3-0 in the League Cup. Before that, January 2010, we lost 1-0 FA Cup. February 2004, Premier League. This last time we saw them, we drew 1-1, and then we beat them in the League Cup and then the Premier League before that. So we do have their number, sir, but they have a manager, Bielsa. Cheeky Argentinian manager, gets the players to work really hard. He's gotten them up. They have ownership who actually like the team and invest in it. They want Dan James from us, sir. What do you make Leeds come?
Hey, they're like the new team that everyone loves. At least NBC Sports certainly did at the beginning of the season. Talked about Bielsa and co enough. They had some good performances. Sometimes they're like lights out. Sometimes they get torn open by a side. So you don't know who to expect. They're going to come out looking for blood. Yeah, they do score goals, but they also are very exposed in the back. So they have goals that leak. So dude, should be a blockbuster match. Lots of goals in it. Hopefully we don't concede early, but I wouldn't put it past us.
Did you watch the Prime series about Leeds behind the scenes?
I did, and that seems like a football owner and club that has some decent people running the clubs.
Don't say good things about Leeds on this podcast.
No, they're scum, but the owner seems to have a little bit more interest in what's going on than the Glazers do.
All right, a little history about these clubs and the rivalry here. First match was January 1923. They drew 0-0 in League Two, sir, and then you know what? Leeds and Manchester United hate each other going all the way back to the 15th century. The rivalry originates from the strong enmity between the historical counties of Lancashire and Yorkshire, which is probably believed to have its origins in the War of the Roses, sir, in the 15th century. You know, there was essentially a coup in the 15th century, take over the crown of England. A lot of the War of the Roses you'll see in Game of Thrones. If you're a fan of Game of Thrones and all the, you know, backstabbing stuff, part of that was based on the War of the Roses. George R. R. Martin has said that his inspiration partially was based on that. So these two areas have hated each other for a long, long time. And essentially, these clubs, so close together, only 40 miles away, they've been fighting ever since, sir. And the big thing is it goes back to the 70s with the firms, right? You had the United firm, the most notorious Manchester United, basically, at the height of hooliganism in the 70s and 80s, right? Fights between the Leeds United Service Crew. That was their firm name. Shit football, great firm. Manchester United's Red Army. Two of the most notorious hooligan firms in Britain. So if you're a fan of Manchester United, you know, Manchester United's Red Army, sir. Hooligans just fighting in the streets. You love it.
I mean, they've cleaned up football quite a bit, but if you want to read about how United used to roll back in the day, read Bill Buford's Among the Thugs. You know, they talk about 91 in Turin. And back in the 70s, 80s, there was a lot of bad blood between Leeds United and Manchester United. So, you know, this is, I think there's going to be a lot of bad blood in this game as well. So they're fighting for Dan James. They're acting like this, you know, big new up and comer, but we should send them back. Hopefully they get relegated and end up back in the championship where they belong.
Yeah. And because Leeds has been relegated, we haven't faced them quite a bit. Like we said last time, 2011. But back in the day, probably predates me as a fan, you know, this was the Liverpool plus. The extra hate with Leeds, obviously hate Liverpool, but the Leeds were just, you know, very nasty, very feisty, obviously with the hooliganism, people getting injured in the streets, you know, getting shanked. And the Daily Telegraph was quoted, English football's most intense and inexplicable rivalry. I think that sums it up. So a lot of history with Leeds scum. We all know the song, you know, sir, we all hate Leeds scum.
We all hate Leeds come, and when we have we can have something in common with the Scousers, that means that there's some bad blood.
Yeah, exactly. The club Leeds was formed in 1919 following the disbanding of Leeds City by the Football League and took over their Ellen Road Stadium in 1919. The Coca-Cola Company was not established, sir.
I fudged up on the agenda. 1919 history has to wait, but that is not 1919 history. That's the old history from last time.
Sir, end of the World War One. You know, I don't know the exact, maybe it was 1918, but you know, things were popping off. Spanish flu, and in 1917, this might be like 2021 coming up. Everyone partying in the streets, dancing in the streets, maybe 2022, sir. 1919 was a good year. I'm sure the music was popping.
They said hopefully the Roaring Twenties are coming, but 1919, they're not quite as old as some of the clubs in Northern England.
Leeds have won 3 English titles, 1 FA Cup, 1 League Cup, 2 Charity Community Shields, and 2 Inner City Fairs Cups. Leeds play in all white kits. You know, the club's badge features the White Rose of York. So we talked about the White Rose and then the Red Rose. Manchester United is red. Leeds wears white. That's how it was in the 15th century. Unbelievable history here. The club's anthem is an original song released in 1972, Marching On Together. Probably sucks. And Leeds share rivals. Leeds hates a lot of people. They have rivalries with Manchester United, Chelsea, as well as local team Huddersfield Town, Bradford City, Sheffield United, and Sheffield Wednesday. So Leeds just, you know, elbows out in the north. Physio room, Marcus Rojo's injured, Phil Jones injured. Those guys just catching paychecks. And Edison Cavani, other. I saw him trading. Looked like it was a late fitness test. It's not available, sir. We'll get to Cavani a little later. Given those injuries, given we hate Leeds scum, what is your lineup?
This is who I've got. I've got De Gea back in net, back for AWB, Lindelof, Maguire, and Luke Shaw. Fit and firing, and midfield of Fred, McTominay, Paul Pogba, and a front three of Bruno, Rashford, and Martial. So a 4-3-3.
I'm going to say Dave Saisonet, Aaron Wan-Bissaka, Maguire. I'm going to put him with Twan Zabi. I think Lindelof needs a rest. I'm worried about him getting injured. He is playing very well, but again, we need a rotation. Sean, for Telus, like you, Pogba's got to play because he's doing an audition for Real Madrid or Juventus or whoever, so we can get more money, so we can maybe get Ronaldo back. Then we're going to put Fred, Bruno, Rashford, Martial, Greenwood. Fred's got to come back in the side. Sir, you know, I, you know me on this podcast. I wasn't always a fan of Fred, but Fred's got to come back.
He's the work rate
of Bielsa's side. You're going to need Fred in the middle.
Totally. And, you know, that's why I expect to see him with his boy McTominay, because that work rate's hard to beat in this United side. And it's going to be...
That's probably right, but Pogba, I think you're right, but Pogba's probably going to get dropped from my team. He's going to do McTominay, Fred, play the workhorses, probably in the middle.
Because it's the game's going to be won and lost in the midfield. It's going to be like all about that. It's all going to be like, dude, being able to play out the back, right? Because they're going to press the shit out of us. So we just got to keep our nerve and not concede early and come out with some intensity, because this is a derby. I mean, technically, it's a derby.
No, it's, look, it's something where United, if you want to attack United, attack us, because we're best on the counter. I mean, that's what we saw today, is like we are most dangerous when someone comes at us and we can counter them. And Leeds are going to play into that. They're not going to change their style of play. We know that, so Ole should get it right. The tactics should work in our favor, but you can't have Hendo or De Gea at the back rumbling, bumbling, stumbling, and that is what's going to kill us. So I think we got to be sharp out of the gate. We got to have our... Dude, we can't have scratchy passing. We need crisp passes, sir, like Sir Alex Ferguson was said, and just get into the game, hit him on the counter, put the ball maybe on Pogba's foot if Ole's brave enough to start him in this game, because the work rate's going to be insane, and try to get him behind and scored a few goals.
Yeah, I mean, this is a team that's like, you just got promoted. They're good. They're not that good. So we should be able to put them to the knife, because we got to know what's coming. You're right. It's like, you got to expect that they're going to throw everything in the kitchen sink at you early and try and get a lead early. And we have to be able to sit back, counter, and then break at pace and just rip them open, maybe.
This will be a great game to watch. I think it's not going to be nil-nil. It's not going to be nil-nil City-Manchester derby. I can't believe that game, by the way, that it was nil-nil. That's like
a lot of games can't believe.
It's offensive.
Don't talk about RB, though.
After thinking about that game, I'm mad that we didn't even score. That was terrible. Booking the bookies, Manchester United heavy favorites here, -145 to win, the draw +320, and the Leeds to win +360. So what are we worried about, sir? The bookies have it heavily favored for United.
Like I said, I mean, we should be the favorite. We got to do the job. But, you know, it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be a stroll in the park. It ain't going to be Wigan 08, bro, 4-0. It's going to be like 3-2, nervy to the
end. If I was
a
neutral, that draw, or that, you know, just at least to win outright, that'd be worth putting some money on. First goal scorer, Cavani +440, Bruno +460, Rashford +460, Martial +500, and Ighalo. He's on the list. Haven't seen him in a while. Cavani, odds-on favorite to score. What do you make of that?
I think the news we're about to talk about in United, the news, sir, is going to make that likelihood very low that he's going to be scoring up on the weekend.
No, but he's not going to be on until January. Is that going to take effect?
Oh, I didn't know that. I'm actually surprised that he's number one, that it's not Rashford and or Bruno, because they'd be the guys that are banging him in for United.
No, totally. Given those are the bookies' odds, what is your score prediction?
So I'm calling 3-2, just like United goes down early as usual. But this team is the comeback king. So we win it at home, ugly way, but 3 points.
I'll raise you 4-3. This is going to be barn burner. So we're going to be leaking goals, coming back. It's going to be everything you want to see early on Sunday morning. Cannot wait, sir. United in the news. We have some news. You alluded to it. United star Edinson Cavani charged by the English FA over Instagram post. Sir, it's been everywhere. You've seen it. Essentially, Edinson Cavani in hot water here. He made a post after he hit a brace. Best game of his career at United. And, you know, it has some language in it that we will not say on this podcast. And Edinson Cavani in hot water. Clearly, I don't think the intent behind the post was to be, you know, racially insensitive. But there are terms in the FA. They give rules to players and what they can and cannot post on social media. And it does violate that. If you read the rules word for word, what he did referred to specific things that the FA says you cannot say on social media. How is this possible in 2020? How does Cavani not have a team filtering what he does on the social media? I mean, I know everyone has their social media managed, but the fact that he doesn't speak the language culturally, obviously comes from Uruguay, sir. How does he not have a team? He's getting paid millions of dollars. How does he not have people telling him what he can and cannot do or what's acceptable or not, especially by the rules?
I mean, have you seen El Matador? First of all, the rules probably in English. Just, you know, he's new to English.
No, but he's got to have somebody check.
But the guy seems like a very down-to-earth guy. Like, he spends his days off going hiking, right, with his dog and his mata.
Sir, you can't. No, I agree. You got to know where you are.
Sir, I'm not making any defense, but, like, he won't do it again. And I think they're being a little bit harsh on him. He obviously meant no.
No, the rules are the rules. The rule literally says you can't say anything related to that. You can't
I understand what the rules say. And I understand that, like, the rules are the rules, and we're going to follow the rules. But I just think Cavani apologized. I think it was pretty clear that, like, he was not trying to offend anybody. Obviously, he does. He did offend somebody. So I understand that, like, you know, you need to punish the player because it is against the rules. But at the end of the day, I think they're doing extra harsh because it's United. And I feel like they're waiting on the ban until he's back from fitness. You know, so I just...
The way this works is they charge you, right? They review it. They charge you. And then he can respond January 4th. But as I read the rules, he violated them and he will serve a 3-game ban. And that's really something where you want to talk about a fumble. I don't know whether United doesn't do it right, but, you know, I've read a few different books. Sir Alex talks about how when you're buying South American players, you bring them to England, you got to, you know, have a language coach, you help them get settled. There's a lot of different cultural things that you need to explain to them. I do not know how something like this falls through the cracks at Manchester United when Cavani is on the money he is on. Think of the wages. Think of the matches he's going to miss at the time he's going to miss them. It's a big deal, sir, and it's really a fumble. It's a self-inflicted wound, and I don't blame Cavani because I think United has to be sorting this stuff out with their players. They need to have, like, you know, orientation about this stuff because this is going to affect the team's results on the pitch, and it's almost like a player shouldn't have access to be just like firing anything off without it being filtered by the club. Think of the contract he's under.
Yeah, I mean, but then you're talking about a level of like micromanaging people's behavior. Dude, to a level. You can't
millions
do that.
Of dollars.
Yeah, but you
this
can't
is
do
millions
that.
Like, and millions and millions and millions and millions.
Sorry, you want my take or you want to
millions keep, and you millions keep and talking millions about the
You can't manage everybody's social media account. You can't manage what Jesse Lingard tweets or what Cavani tweets. He said something they shouldn't have said. So now he's going to get the ban and it's going to affect us. So, hey, I guess you what? Agallo might be starting some games between now and him going back to China in January.
There you go. And hey, earn that money, Agallo. Speaking of millions and millions, Agallo, how much is it? $10 million for Agallo to sit on the bench? Edward, we're looking at you. Club's almost broke. You're paying Agallo. Next bit of news. Manchester United joined Chelsea in Declan Rice transfer race as West Ham star preference emerges, sir. Per the Express, Manchester United could make a move for Declan Rice in the summer transfer window. England international has enjoyed an impressive start to the season. I rate Declan Rice. Clearly, we're talking about Paul P replacement. I think he'd be perfect. Old English comes in, high work rate. Great player. Great talent. I rate Declan Rice, but we're broke, sir. We don't have the money.
No, yeah. More of like a CDM upgrade, right? Someone that's going to shore up the back. Great player. But, you know, what would be the fee that would be required to take him out of West Ham? I would imagine it'd be way more than we want to pay. Because I think if we're signing anybody, if we're at least
65, 70,
if we're signing once, anybody twice, from the league, there's only one player I want from the league, sir, and his name is Jack Grealish, salty, dirty dog, Jack Grealish,
sir.
That's what I want.
You just want Jack Grealish because you rate the calf game.
Well, the Cav game's strong. You got strong Cav game. You can't argue with that Cav game.
Cav game recognized Cav game.
Exactly.
Also, I saw an article. It was Manchester United look to buy four players in squad overhaul, but will delay till the summer per Ed Woodward. It was something like the most Ed Woodward headline ever. I retweeted it. And the problem with United is we want to buy Declan Rice. We got $58 million on the balance sheet. The vaccine is not coming to the major public in England. At best case scenario, April, May. Clubs losing money until they get a lot of fans in seats. We're talking 70,000 fans in seats. Sir, the club is going to be losing money. They're going to give us the same moaning pitch this summer. I'll rerun the model. I'll rerun the projections. We don't have the money. The Glazers are not going to be putting money in. The Glazers are going to be taking money out. And this is something where, you know, as a fan, you got to demand it from your ownership, because United of old, like I thought of like Son, it's like we would go get Son from Tottenham, pay them $90 million, go grab him, put him in the side, run for a title. I just don't think the intent, the chip up, like the big move. We used to make moves like getting Berbatov, like big moves that other people.
Even Berbatov was like, we should have spent way more money.
But
bro. Ronaldo was the end of it. Like we used to spend money like pre-Glazers. We used to spend like huge amounts of cash.
But it was like so unnecessary. We had already won a title and we had so many strikers and we added Berbatov for almost no reason, just to say F you to the entire league and add him onto our team. And now we're in the situation where Woodward's like, oh, we can buy one player if we sell Pogba. And it's just always on the come. Ever since Mourinho was our manager, they really haven't invested in this side. It's always on the come, and United really need to just stake their intent. We need Sancho. We need Grealish. We need Declan Rice, sir. Like four big name players coming in and saying, yo, we are chipping up. We're going to go for 21. And it's clear to everyone that, yes, we can go on a tower run here, but from an ownership perspective, the intent is not there in the transfer window, and in my opinion, won't be there for probably years until there's new ownership.
No, and my point I was trying to make is it hasn't been there for a long fucking time. It hasn't been there since like arguably 2008, because they never replaced Ronaldo, and they handcuffed Sir Alex Ferguson. You know, he could have won a lot more, should have picked up more Champions League titles if they were properly investing in the club even then. And they still saw it as a cash cow, suck every dollar out. Now it's been kind of laid to bear because of the lack of good performance and the lack of titles. But this is all on the Glazers. This is all on Ed Woodward. I mean, it's not a well-run club. We should be flush with cash. And we're getting one player in. It doesn't matter how much they spent.
I'm just letting you know, but like they spent $1 billion since Sir Alex left. That's a lot of money. It's top of the list with City. And you know, City have won a few titles. We haven't. You know, I blame them as well for that, but the whole point is that, yeah, you spend $1 billion, but you need to spend another $500 million to get there. And that's where we are right now, where this team's dying for some big names to come in and energize us to push for 21. Because a great example is right now, if we had two or three really good players like Jack Grealish, Sancho, we could be literally title favorites. Bro, and that's the crime.
What if we had Chelsea's window? He got fat Frank Lampard, got every fucking player on his list.
Well, they suck, though. But those players suck.
I know they suck. But the point is that he got a list of $240 million of players and got every single one. Ole put a list together, got none of his players. And that's the difference. And we're a point ahead of them with a game in hand.
What's the haggler that Woodward is? Like, he wants to haggle over everything. And it's like, we spent $1 billion.
We spent $1 million poorly. It's like we've lost so much money on players. We're going to lose money on Pogba. It's just, you need to have direction. You need to have a
Memphis Depay buyback, baby. He's a rapper too. You can cross promote that, bro. Ed Woodward, you got it. All right, sir. We can go all day on the Glazers. Buy a Glazers out scarf. America Red Devils, $9.99, sir. So on sale. Fan questions. Really appreciate all the banter, the tweets, everything. Keep them coming, sir. First here, at Burkett Mets, quote, "This is a game we would have drawn last year, particularly since it was a chance to move up the table. This year, the game management has been much better when leading. Even after the fluky goal, the team defended together and saw the game progress. Hashtag glory, glory, Man United, sir." That's that glass half full take from Burkett Mets.
Amen. Appreciate the optimism in Burkett Mets. We said it at the beginning of the pod. It's true. It's like we would have dropped points today all day last year.
No, absolutely. At BryGuy666, my heart, this team just loves playing with all of our emotions. Scary at the end there. But 3 points for the lad, sir. We move on. And he has a photo of a gentleman having a heart attack. At Greek Fest 1981, Pogba tonight was rehearsing. I like that. Yeah, he was.
Yes, he was.
At I Note It All, 13 points out of a possible 15 from the last 15 Premier League matches, yet you still see people down on the Ole and United. Perception is quite a bit different than reality, sir. I mean, not it's true in the league, but crashing out of the Champions League, I knew everyone would get over that. You just wanted to stay off Twitter for a few days.
So get over it. I mean, the thing is like, we were apparently a club in crisis. I know we dropped out of the Champions League, huge bummer, but the league, I think at the moment, has got to be where our focus is. Maybe it'll end up being a blessing in disguise that it'll all be in the spring down to the league, because brick by brick, baby.
At Go Mike J. Go, quote, that first Sheffield United goal, you could hear the Hendo truthers' hearts break in real time, sir. Is Hendo the real man to do it or no?
I don't know. We will see. He's got to earn it. De Gea had that mantle, but he's obviously slipped off his game. And I think the competition of Hendo around is certainly going to help. But whether or not he's going to be the de facto man between the sticks, a Schmeichel, a Van der Sar, remains to be seen.
And if you watch the tape on Hendo, he had a really good season last year, but he did make errors. Like, he has the gaffes in him. So if you watch maybe the season before, I watched a little highlight reel and I did see a lot of similar kind of fumbles and bumbles, but that seems to be the mode of keepers these days. Just because their demand for playing out the back is higher. So it's not like Van der Sar or Schmeichel really had to play that role. So they're not put in these awkward situations for keepers.
That's an interesting point, because it's true. It's like they have to do so much more than they used to. Keepers are playing out of the back. And they're like, they're seen as an 11th on the field player. So that's something there, sir.
At MJ Fit 16, quote, Pogba and Bruno bossed it, but Sheffield sucks. They're a dirty team. Dean with two bad mistakes, but got to be pleased. At Michael 72, quote, don't care about anything else except the 3 points. Top teams have been dropping points like crazy in the last 5 days. We got the result today. Onward and upward. At T Zolski, quote, take the 3 points, three very good goals, but why do we have to make things interesting? SMH at the goals, we continue to let up. And why do we look like a second-tier team without Bruno on the pitch? That makes me incredibly nervous, sir. Great point. Bruno out, and we kind of dropped.
Yeah, I mean, where would we be at Bruno Fernandes, sir? I think we'd have a different manager.
I think
yeah, an Argentinian manager that everyone will be talking about whether he's getting fired next.
At JGW 300, I've seen us play worse, but for those middle 60 to 70 minutes, we looked very good. CB, CDM still needs to be priority coming up, but offensively, we look good. I would have liked to see Greenwood grab one, had a couple of chances, but no dice. On to Leeds, an old magic rivalry renewed. Absolutely love it, sir. Sir, look, that's the podcast. Really appreciate all the banter on Twitter, sir. One point I wanted to talk about in the pod. This is kind of a rant here. Is the you gotta love the Arsenal 15th in the table? I don't look at our position in the table. Sir.
But you can look at the Gunners.
I've heard how good Arteta was.
You know what Ian Wright said at the beginning of the fucking season? He said that United would be winning the title if they had Arteta as their manager. No, bro.
This is kind of the why when you're a Manchester United fan, you gotta understand that it's like the racket you hear on NBC Sports, anywhere you go, even Sky Sports, everything. Frank Lampard wins like 3 games against like the worst teams in the league, and everyone's talking about him being like the next genius, their title challengers. Everyone is like doing so great coming into 2020, the start of the season, and United are just getting slated left and right, and like we're just kind of doing our thing, a few ups, a few downs, but chipping up the table. And it's like everyone else getting talked. Chelsea looked like shit. Arsenal, they beat us with a penalty. They were lucky in our house. They celebrate like they won the league, and they're 15th.
I know. I mean,
you have to keep things in perspective, because as United fans, I often think everyone's coming for the rage bait on you. Everyone's hating on you, and you just got to like stay calm, weather the storm, and let the results do the talking. I didn't tweet once about Arsenal being in 15th until we beat Sheffield United, sir. You got to get the 3 points and then talk shit. And now that we got the 3 points and everyone else dropped points, fuck Chelsea, fuck Arsenal. They're plastic fans, plastic club, dude. I don't know why we get all the hate. But they say hated, adored, never ignored. Manchester United, best club in the world.
Hated, adored, never ignored.
dude, united against the world. And that's the way, you know what? That's the way it's going to be. That's the way it should be. And I have no problem with it. You know what? Because it's us against the rest of those Muppets, and they're going to come at us and wait till we get 21. Or wait till we get close. I mean, the best was the post-game NBC Sports. They're like, have we been too hard on Manchester United? I think we might have been. It's like, well, yeah, they're above, dude, Chelsea.
It's like there's, everyone's so biased.
And it's crazy.
Like, what's amazing is a Chelsea fan on the thread. I was like, haven't heard anything from you lately.
Nothing, bro.
Like,
he's got nothing. Know? He's got nothing to say.
Dude, it's like Arsenal losing to Burnley. It's just like, come
Arsenal
on.
Fans,
like,
changing teams, bro.
It's like, but the problem is that they just chirp. So, like, everyone comes at United fans. I think that's what it is. Everyone is, like, coming for blood, sir. Like you say, the old days, cruising to titles, winning, winning, winning. Everyone just hates United. So anytime we look vulnerable, everyone's coming in for the kill. They look vulnerable. It's very quiet. It's very quiet. They're always chatting shit whenever United are down. But, you know, when their teams go down, I don't hear a peep, sir. Don't, like, Chelsea think they won the title by buying Kai, like you say, Kai Havertz.
The guy's such a boner. We don't need to go and talk about Arsenal, but like Ole would have been fired by now if he was in 15th right now. Sir, you know that.
Sir,
it's obvious.
I literally messaged you the tweet where Arteta's like,
that's amazing.
His hand is on his head. Like, he's talking to the sub. He has his hand on his shoulder and he's like, literally, like, oh my God.
Sir, like, if Guardiola is the bald fraud, what does that make Arteta, bro? That's like, the poor man's what?
All I got to say is I'm Arteta. And so, look, that's been a real podcast. We appreciate everyone who listens, supports, downloads the podcast. We are four fans by fans. Support us on Patreon. Grab some merch. It goes a long way to keep the lights on. Check out our blog, www.americanreddevils.com. We had some great downloads the last 7 days, sir. Give them your top 10 cities.
Number one, how you doing? How you doing? Columbus, Ohio. Atlanta, Georgia. New York, New York. Norman, Oklahoma. Sir, keep us going.
Sitting born, United Kingdom. Chicago, Illinois. Manville, New Jersey. Shout out, New Jersey. I know you got some snow. You got a shovel there. Finish them out, sir.
Lombard, Illinois. Lexington, Kentucky. And last but not least, Phoenix, Arizona. Thank you to all the American Red Devils in the United States and around the world listening week in, week out, sir. We got games coming up. We got Leeds scum on the weekend. How you feeling?
Oh, look. I just want to come fight night. Let's beat them. Beat them up. Beat them up. I don't care how many we can concede, but we need 3 points. Let's chip up the table with these easy fixtures and keep chirping Chelsea and Arsenal all goddamn day, sir. As always,
kicking a blue.